needed last night, John?
A gun hidden behind the toilet?
Exactly. I needed one of those old-fashioned toilets because Captain McCluskey was at dinner last night, if you know The Godfather.
Yep.
And, but I ended up, you know what? For the most part, it was friendly-ish, I would say. It was friendly-ish, John. I can't wait till you have your dinner to give a full report.
Very exciting.
So you have not had a chance to react to any of this stuff that we've been talking about all week long.
Okay, so people have been asking, when I've been running into people, they've been asking me, so what's the deal? So here's the deal. There's an NBA rule that says if you're a team employee, you can't comment on anything
until
the first of. So that's why, by the way, even though the news has been out for about a week that Russell Westbrook was coming to the Lakers, you haven't heard anyone who works for the Lakers commenting
right.
on it until today.
Yes.
Now, we should let you know that Lakers are walking into the facility as we speak, signing their contracts. Mason and I have been interviewing Lakers all morning, and we're going to bring those interviews to you during the show today. But until today, Mace, not even Laker
right.
players were able to comment on Russell Westbrook, but everybody we've talked to today will comment on Russ, including Dwight Howard, including Trevor Ariza, including Wayne Ellington. And it's a great day. I cannot tell you how jacked up I am for this season. As you know, Russell Westbrook's my favorite player in the league to watch.
He plays a hundred. He's a human video game. He plays 100 miles an hour with his hair on fire.
And now I get to do every one of his games this season.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. You know, the comments I've been hearing, you guys have probably been talking about it all week, is, well, it's not going to work because Westbrook can't shoot and Westbrook can't do this. And the three of those guys have never played together, blah, 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 blah. I'm stunned at how many people are focusing on what these guys can't do versus what they can do.
Right, right.
And I'm telling you, I don't know how you're going to be able to defend this Laker team with that much offensive firepower. I can't wait to watch teams try. And the other thing I hear all the time, Mace, is, well, they're too old. There's all the jokes about how they're going to be able to go to dinner at the Sizzler.
L-A-A-R-P.
Right. We're not building this team for the next 10 years.
Correct.
We're building it for the next 10 months.
Yep.
And in that context, I think the Lakers are loaded. I think they're going to the finals. I mean, I pick them to win it every year, but I really believe, you put me on a lie detector, I would tell you it's Lakers, Nets in the finals. And this season's going to be about.
Is it true? If we put you on a lie, if we did get a lie detector here,
right?
And we put you on the lie detector, would that honestly be your answer?
Yes, but if you ask me who wins it, I think home court's important. I think I'd love to have that game 7 at Staples Center if it turns out. And I think the key to the whole season for both those teams is health. That the one thing, if you do have an older team, that I will admit to, is that injuries tend to show up.
Well, good. We've never had a problem with that.
Well, except that when they won it 2 years ago, that was basically, you know, LeBron and AD, and you have LeBron and AD healthy this year, and you're adding Westbrook.
Okay. So let's take the Westbrook piece, because we're going to talk to Wayne Ellington, we're going to talk to Dwight Howard, we're going to talk to Trevor Ariza all coming up for you.
Wait till you guys hear the Dwight Howard interview is at 2:15.
Yeah, 2:15
is Dwight. Wait till you guys hear how excited Dwight is to be back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's pumped. He's just coming out of his shoes.
Yeah. So let's talk about the fit for a minute. So what I've said all week long, John, is I'm a big Westbrook fan, but it is four teams in 4 years, et cetera, et cetera. It is LeBron James who needs the ball in his hands to really be successful. I think it is going to be a season-long negotiation between Russell Westbrook and LeBron James as to who initiates the offense, how the offense is initiated, how much ball time does Westbrook get versus LeBron get. I think all that's going to be a TBD, but it's going to be a constant negotiation, I think, throughout the season. Not necessarily a bad thing. The negotiation could go really well, but it's not foolproof. It's not foolproof that this is going to work.
I heard all this stuff, all that stuff you just said, I heard verbatim when Gary Payton and Karl Malone came to the Lakers in 2004. There's only one ball. Who's going to initiate the offense? Is Kobe going to let Gary Payton bring the ball up? Is Karl Malone going to be okay being a second or third option behind Shaq and Kobe? How is it all going to work? Mace, that team started 21-3, made it to the finals, and even though they ran into a really good Detroit team and lost, Malone was hurt, so we'll never know whether or not the whole thing would have worked. So
no. I mean, the team did get to the finals. I repeated that over and over again this week. So it was, I think the movie that we compared this to was The Expendables, which, you know, starred Sly Stallone and Randy Couture and Dolph Lundgren and guys like that, guys who'd been around a little bit. I would compare this team to that. But I'm not going to pick them to win it all, at least as of right now. Not going to pick them to win it all,
at least as of right now. If you had to pick a team to win it all, who are you taking?
I am going to – well, I mean, it's so early in the game, but right now I think Milwaukee is the defending champion. I think they get a chance to defend their crown.
Brooklyn's better than Milwaukee.
All that – well, I mean, all that talk. First of all, health is a huge part of this, and they've got guys who have a tendency – they've got a tendency to be injured. At the wrong moments, that's what happened this year. But Milwaukee is the defending champ. And I think they're the team to beat right now. I think they're the team everybody's chasing. My expectation is the Lakers get to the Western Conference Finals. I'm not sure who they play. The West is very, very balanced. I like them to get to the finals, but who knows? Who knows how this is going to play out? I think we've got to see it on the floor. You've got to see it on the floor to know how it's going to work. And the other concern I have, John, is defense. They have taken a step back, at least in terms of raw talent on defense. And that is Frank Vogel's focus. That is where he made his bones. That is why we won the championship in 2020. It's that defense. Westbrook not known as a defender. Carmelo not known as – we didn't add great defenders to this team. We didn't add defensive-minded guys, and with the exception of Dwight. And I think it's going to take some time for Frank Vogel to figure that out to get us to play the defense we need to be a championship team.
Trevor Ariza, when he played for the Lakers the last time, was an elite
great 3-and-D guy. Great 3-and-D guy.
I don't know if it's real. We'll ask him if he's still the same player that he was back then. But he can help. And there's a couple of kind of quiet under-the-table additions that might make a huge difference.
Okay.
One of them is I can't believe they got Malik Monk on a minimum contract.
Yeah, no, really good deal. He started to pop a little bit last year.
Well, he shot a career-high 40% from three last year.
Yeah.
Wayne Ellington shot 42% from three last year, which equals his career high. So they got shooters. They addressed the three-point
shooting. Did you say Melo? Melo shot 41% from three last year.
Right, and I don't know how much Melo's going to play. To be honest,
I'd start him.
Well, I was just going to say, when the Lakers did the three-peat,
yep.
One of the things they did was they had an aging, end-of-his-career A.C. Green, and they started him just as kind of a symbolic gesture that, hey, this is the type of guy who everyone respects. We're going to set the tone from the beginning. So what if you did this just for kind of tone-setting purposes? I think when they had this meeting at LeBron's house, when Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Westbrook
put their heads together, right?
I think AD agreed to play the five. I don't know it for a fact, but I think it's one of the only ways that this thing works. I think that last year he didn't play a lot of five. The year before he played five 40% of the time, the year they won the title. I think they're going to move back to that. So if you do that, if you play AD at the five, you could play LeBron at the four, Westbrook plays the one, and then you could start Melo at the three. And if you wanted to, you could start, if you wanted to add defense, you could start Talen Horton-Tucker at the two, who's a good defender.
Yep.
Or if you wanted to add shooting, you could start Kendrick Nunn or Wayne Ellington at the two. But you absolutely could, if you wanted to play around with the lineups, start Melo. And use his minutes that way. Play him. Get six of the 15 to 20 minutes he's going to play out of the way right out of the gate.
And I'll tell you what we're going to see right off the bat, John, and it's going to annoy me, but I think we're going to see Marc Gasol starting at the five in a lot of games.
Maybe. That doesn't bother me.
Yeah, that bothers me. Gasol just didn't have Gasol did not have a good year.
But here's
last
the thing:
year. He
doesn't
give you rim protection.
He's an elite passer out of the high post, and he doesn't clog the middle. And now you have three people that slash: LeBron, AD, and Westbrook. And Westbrook's one of the great slashers of all time. But
yeah, I just think Mark is at the tail end of things.
He's not going to play a lot of minutes.
Did not look good last year. A lot of the time, I think fans generally are over Gasol, but he's going to play, and he'll probably be in that lineup to start the season. I think Gasol's probably going to start.
Yeah, a lot of it will depend on too. Vogel. The reason Montrezl Harrell isn't here anymore is Vogel won't play you long term if you're not good defensively.
Yes.
So a lot of those guys are going to have to prove that they can defend.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And they went out and got a bunch of guys who don't necessarily defend. Who at least they've not defended in a while or never were committed to defense.
Right, but I think if you look at the rosters over the last two seasons, you wouldn't say they were elite defensively. There was no first-team all-defense guys on those teams, and they were the number one defense in the league both years. That's what Vogel kind of hangs his hat on, is defending collectively as a group. So, and all, you know, LeBron can be a great defender when he wants to be.
And he was last year. He was
and
definitely
so
a great defender last year.
I think they're
going to
challenge
before.
Russ the same way. They're going to say, you know, you're so good athletically, we need you to defend better, and he'll do it. I mean, wait till you guys see Westbrook. Wait till you see it. I mean, everyone's hammering this guy for, you know, having a high usage rate. The truth is, Mace, he
had the second highest usage rate in the history of the league.
Right, but last year,
yeah,
was the lowest
on a Washington team. Yeah,
yeah, was the lowest of his career, 30%. So, I mean, he had Bradley Beal.
Yep,
but I mean, he'll adjust. I've seen it happen a million times when great. I mean. The Lakers found out a way to make it work with Magic, Kareem, and Worthy. They found out a way to make it work with Gary Payton, Karl Malone, Kobe, and Shaq. They'll make this work. And wait till you guys see how fun Westbrook is to watch. It's just he's like a I don't know how to explain it other than to say he's like a video game. Like when you play a video game and one character in the game is faster and jumps higher than all the other ones.
Yep.
That's Westbrook.
By the way, I put that in the promo for today. That John Ireland would say Russell Westbrook is a human video game plays the game 100 miles an hour with his hair on fire, because I know that's your line.
Yeah, I think I will probably say it 100 times this year. by the way,
I think Mace has said it 100 times this week.
Yeah,
yeah.
In your
honor, since you couldn't be here.
Yeah, thank you. A couple of breaking news things that have happened in the last 20 minutes. ESPN's Bobby Marks is reporting Kawhi is going to re-sign with the Clippers. Now, I don't know whether or not he'll play at all this season.
Yeah, he may not play.
It might be one of those Durant deals. Like, you know, Durant's whole first year in Brooklyn, he sat out the whole year.
Yep.
So that's, you know.
But he is going to re-sign.
Right. He is going to re-sign in Brooklyn with the Clippers.
With the Clippers, yeah.
And Durant is going to re-sign in Brooklyn for another 4 years. I was thinking about something watching the Olympics.
By the way, real quick, breaking news on 710 ESPN, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you to download up to $15 in coupons. All right, there you go.
So watching the Olympics.
Yes.
Has anyone in any sport ever come back from a torn Achilles better than Durant has?
No, he is unbelievable.
Did Adrian Peterson came back from an ACL. I don't think he ever tore his Achilles.
Yeah, totally different animal. An Achilles is just a...
I think he's changed the prognosis for anyone who tears their Achilles moving forward forever. I mean, they can't guard him in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, okay. Honest answer. Tonight, 7:30.
Lay the 11 and a half.
No. But here, you got to make a decision.
Okay.
Okay. Which one of these will you watch live?
Okay.
Dodgers, Angels, or Olympic gold medal game?
Well, because I think we're going to blow out France, I think there will come a point when we can switch over to the Dodgers-Angels game and feel comfortable about the way Team USA is playing. One of the most overrated dum-dum stories of the year so far is uh-oh, we're in trouble at the Olympics. We were never in trouble at the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, we were.
We were never in trouble. We have far more talent. They threw those guys together. I mean, Drew Holiday basically got off a plane, and Devin Booker got off a plane and put on their Olympic uniforms without any chance to work together with the team. I think this was a walkover from the beginning. I never thought Team USA was in trouble.
So you don't think this is...
And they'll blow France out tonight.
Okay, Popovich has never beaten France as the head coach of Team USA. He's 0-2, including in the first game of this tournament. I think you're severely underestimating France. I think the United States are going to win, but I wouldn't.
What are you taking, the 11.5? Are you taking
take, if you made me bet that game, I would take the 11.5 on either side. If you're going to give me 11.5 in a gold medal game, way too many points. It's going to be close. USA wins. I think Durant's going to be the hero, and he's going to save us in the end.
It's going to be a blowout. Durant's going to be a hero, and we will win this thing going away, and I don't think there was ever any doubt that we were going to. With that much talent. Never, never, never. I mean, look.
You know what you are? You're an arrogant American. You're a pompous-ass American. Greg Popovich would be denouncing you in a press conference right now that you're not taking the rest of the world seriously.
Well, no matter what I said, Greg Popovich would be denouncing me in a press conference.
Fair
it
enough.
Wouldn't even matter what I said.
All right, 877.
You've heard Ireland's reaction to this team, and some counterpoint. 877-710-ESPN. I'm worried about defense, and I'm also worried about the fit, at least during the course of the season, this negotiation, I think, between LeBron and Westbrook that we're going to see. Ireland is you're basically
all in,
to the title.
I think they're going to the finals. Yeah, I now injuries are obviously going to dictate what
of
happens.
Course. Yeah,
but I'm as high on Westbrook as anybody in the country. I just love his game, and now that he's coming here, I think he's smart enough to adjust. Westbrook, LeBron, and AD all on the same team. You know how great this is going to be for Laker fans? You know,
oh, it's going to be so much fun
for us.
It's going to be so great for us.
Yeah,
great for us.
Wait till you guys see Westbrook play. You won't believe this guy. You won't believe somebody plays this hard all the time. But he does.
All right, we'll get some of your phone calls in coming up next. Plus, we'll hear from Wayne Ellington a little bit later on this hour. Wheel of Questions is coming up at 1:30. And the big thing, Dwight Howard at 2:15. We talked to him a little bit earlier. You'll love how pumped he is about coming home to L.A. where he won his title in 2020. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. So,
tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John, you were not here for the Dodgers. We'll get your phone calls in a minute, 877-710-ESPN. You were not here for Dodgers-Astros. And did you hear what we wound up doing for Wednesday night's game to see Max Scherzer strike out 10 in 7 innings?
Well, I'm glad to hear you went Wednesday, because when I left on Friday, your plan was to go Tuesday. What happened to Tuesday?
Tuesday kind of fell apart, and I said, well, wait a minute, let's rally this thing. So we actually invited a listener for a night with Mason at a local baseball game where one team is going to get booed a lot. That's the way we described it. And a guy named Roger Puyak actually came with us to the game. It was me, Laura, Jorge, and Roger, and his sister at the game. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And next time, John, the next time, I think we should do night with Mason in Ireland at a local baseball game. You in?
Well,
that's the way we have to phrase it.
Because we're not the Dodger station?
Correct. To a local baseball game.
I'd have to read up on these rules again, but I mean, we can't give away Dodger tickets. I know that. But we can invite people to go to a Dodger game with us.
Well, yeah, Mason like gave he didn't.
Oh, I see. You gave you paid for those guys?
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I want to go back because we had a good time, and the Dodgers, the Astros were booed relentlessly.
Although
good to boo
your guy Kenley almost blew it.
You know, I got to tell you something. Let me just tell you something about Kenley. You pitch differently when you're up 7-3 than if you're up 7-6.
Oh, please. You are a walking Kenley Jansen excuse.
I'm sorry. I believe in the guy, and nobody else.
You know,
else
if he wouldn't have
to...
got that, if he wouldn't have got that last guy out, that was his last batter. They
were bringing
in.
He struck out the side.
They were bringing in Trinan after that.
Yeah, he struck out the side.
I think that I love the Scherzer pickup. I think the Dodgers are going to win the division now. And if not, if they don't win the division and they get in a one-game playoff.
Shame on them.
Well, wait a minute. How hard of a decision is that? Do you pitch Buehler or do you pitch Scherzer in the one-gamer?
Well, it depends. Are you paying down to the stretch? Are you obviously playing down to the wire? Or do you have an option, or is it just the next guy up?
I think you have to, if there's even a chance that you're going to end up in that game, then you have to save Scherzer for it. I mean, he's just such a great big game pitcher.
Yeah, I'm throwing Buehler. I think Buehler should be on everybody's Cy Young ballot this year. He's been unbelievable. He's lost one game since 2019.
Yeah, and it shouldn't have, well, he's lost two because he lost Tuesday night.
Oh, right, but, he lost the other night.
But he didn't deserve to. He gave up one run.
Yes.
You know, and then Gonzalez gave up that two-run homer.
Yeah, but, and then tonight it's David Price versus the Angels. Unfortunately, Shohei Ohtani pitched on Wednesday night, so we're not actually going to see Ohtani.
What do you mean, unfortunately? Why do we care? We want the Dodgers to win.
We'd love. I mean, I think the average Dodger fan would love to see Shohei Ohtani.
Screw that! I want wins.
I'd love to see him pitch.
Well, great. You live in Los Angeles. You can watch him. He's on your cable system. You can watch him pitch any night he wants.
That's like once in a lifetime stuff. People will say someday, "I saw the guy that both hit and pitched." And by the way, I still think the Dodgers would light him up.
You can drive down to the OC if you want for that, Mace.
Yeah.
Hell no.
You can drive down there if you want to.
Hell no.
Yeah, the Dodgers need wins is what they need.
Well, that is
we're running
out
of games. There's like 50 games left.
Yeah, it's wonderful to win the trade deadline like the Dodgers did. But you better snap out of it and win baseball games. Yeah. You know, this is the kind – you better take 2 out of 3 from the Angels.
These games are at Dodger Stadium, correct?
Yeah, these games are at Dodger Stadium.
All right,
And I think these are critical games. We're four
they're all
games
critical
behind
now.
The Giants.
Yeah, they're all critical now because the Giants aren't backing down. The Giants play Milwaukee this weekend. Milwaukee's good this year.
Yeah.
So if they could sweep the Angels, I think they can make up a game or two here.
Yeah, Milwaukee's got 65 wins, so we got a shot of picking up a couple of games this week.
Although, did you see the Giants yesterday? I mean, the Giants. It's turning into one of those years for the Giants. They were losing 4-0 going into the ninth, and they won 5-4.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of working out their year. All right, here's Chris in Camarillo who wants to talk Lakers. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted
what's
to
up,
talk
Chris?
About
Hi, Chris.
Westbrook.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Yeah, so initially I didn't like Westbrook coming to the Lakers, and I'm kind of warming up to it, feeling good about it.
Why are you warming up to it? What was your original concern, and why are you warming up to it?
Concern was obviously ball dominant, but I feel like Bron can figure it out. I've always liked Westbrook. I've always liked his tenacity, and, you know, I'm just going to love rooting for him. I've always rooted against him because he's always played against us, but now I kind of like it.
Chris, a couple of things about Russ. Number one, he's led the NBA in assists 3 of the last 4 years. And the year he didn't lead was 2 years ago, and LeBron did. So all these guys are elite passers. Westbrook is just as happy getting 20 assists as he is to get 20 points. And this idea that somehow he's not going to figure out how to play with LeBron. They've won a gold medal together. They've played in all-star games together. It's not going to be hard. They're going to figure it out. And the other thing you'll love about him is he just plays harder than everybody else. And it's a hard thing for me to explain until you see it. But when you see it, you'll realize that he's the best. Mace, Westbrook's the best rebounding guard in the NBA.
Yeah. He's going to grab that defensive rebound, then off to the races.
And he is, you know, he's 6'4", but he plays like he's 6'8".
Yeah.
And he's the best rebounding guard in the NBA. He averages 10 rebounds a game.
What intangible does he lack? Because obviously he is on his fourth team in 4 years now. a player as wildly talented as Russell Westbrook is doesn't seem like he should be going from stop to stop to stop to stop.
Okay, so first of all, LeBron's on his third team in 5 years. So they're, you know, you can spin that number any way you want.
Yeah, but those are his choice.
Right. Well, this was
people are trading Russ.
But this was kind of Russ's choice. He went to Tommy Shepard, the GM of the Wizards, and said, "Look, if you can swing a trade to the Lakers, I would do it." And Shepard said, "We'd love to get your $45 million off our books. Let me see if I can do it." The Lakers were going to do the Buddy Hield trade. You know, that was the trade.
We're going to, yeah.
And then when Westbrook and Shepard got together, they said, "Well, this is our window of opportunity here." To answer your question honestly, you can tell that I'm like the world's biggest Westbrook fan.
Yes. But
here, if you ask me to criticize his game, I would say the number one thing is that he's stubborn in the sense that if you leave him wide open, like the Lakers did in the playoffs,
he'll shoot.
And he's not a great outside shooter. So he needs to work on that part. I don't know if he'll need to do that with this team, because I think if you leave him wide open, he'll just drive to the – I mean, he'll penetrate and create something for Ellington or Monk or one of these other dudes and be happy to give it up. I think he's going to lead the league in assists for the fourth time in 5 years. So that would be one thing, is that, you know, if you leave him open, he's going to shoot it. And the other thing is, in this day and age, he's not a great three-point shooter, which is a big part of an NBA game.
Yeah, I think he shot 30% from three last year.
But he does so many other things well that I think, you know, there was a stretch in each of the last 2 years where he just stopped shooting threes. And I think on this team, I would imagine he's only going to shoot maybe one or two a game.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, not when you've got shooters like you've got Ellington, you got Nunn, you got Bazemore, you got guys that knock down shots. Even Carmelo shot 41% from three last year. You've got guys that knock down shots. There's no reason for Russell Westbrook to shoot from beyond the arc. But as you said, he's stubborn.
Right. And he's going to – I think the reason those three guys got together is because they wanted to talk about how it would work. And I think it's going to work. I think they're going to work it out.
Hey,
thanks, Chris, for the phone call.
Let's go a bit long. Let's go to Brandon in South L.A. Brandon, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Everything's great.
So I don't know if John eventually got to it while I was on hold or, you know, the transition to the call. But I think to answer your question, Mace, the intangible that Westbrook misses and why people don't like him sometimes is because he makes bad decisions with the basketball at the end of the game. He doesn't understand that he's not the first option. You know, he always wants to be that guy who's just taking the last shot and all that and be the hero and all that. When, you know, he had Kevin Durant, he didn't need to do that. Like, people still remember that, you know, and he doesn't win when the game is on the line and the ball is in his hand. You don't believe that he's going to make the right play.
Well, Brandon,
I don't know if that's
about this, though. All right. It's the first time in his career that he's the third best player on his own team. He's always been a one or a two. I used to say this about Lamar Odom when the Lakers went to the finals three straight years in a row. Lamar Odom, when he's your third best player, when he was behind Powell and Kobe, was an unstoppable weapon. Because your best defenders on the other team are going to be guarding LeBron and AD. You know, they can't
But it's unfair to compare LeBron to Westbrook. I mean, Lamar was an unbelievably unselfish player who would take whatever role necessary.
Think about this. You just said he's an unbelievably unselfish player. Westbrook has led the league in assists, which is the definition of unselfish, passing, three of the last 4 years, led the entire league. So how is that selfish?
We're going to find out. You use the word stubborn. I think the word stubborn is appropriate here. How stubborn is Russ going to be? Is he going to, you know, I know they had that get-together at LeBron's house, and I know they talked this through, and I know they talked about roles and what I expect of you and what you expect of me and all that stuff, but when they hit the floor, we'll see what it looks like. That's why I'm hesitant.
Brandon's point was Russ makes bad decisions at the end of games. Who's going to have the ball at the end of games that are close for the Lakers?
Well, LeBron.
Right. So why are we see again?
But
this
is he okay? Is Westbrook going to be okay with that?
Well, I mean,
that's the question.
I don't think he would agree to come here if he wasn't.
If LeBron's going to get the last shot, and we would all anticipate he does, is Westbrook going to find he's okay with that?
I will just say this. I said this off the top of the show. Everything you're saying, everything Brandon's saying, I heard when Gary Payton and Karl Malone came to the Lakers, and that team started 21-3 and went to the finals. And
but
might
those
have won
guys,
it.
Those guys were at the very end, like last year of their careers. They were at the very, very end.
Right.
Westbrook's not. Westbrook is, he's basically prime, right? He's 32. He's basically
I think
maybe
was
slightly
30,
past
I think
prime.
Payton was 34, and everybody said, well, Gary Payton's not going to come here and not have the ball. He's not going to give up the ball at the end of the game. He's not going to give it to Kobe or Shaq. He did all of those things.
The proof will be in the proverbial pudding. I am rooting for it to happen. And I think it's going to be a great team to cover. I think it's going to be a great team to follow. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. John, I envy your job. It's going to be a really cool gig.
It's hard for me to explain to you guys how good Westbrook is until you see him. But when you see him, he's going to win you over because it's impossible not to root for this dude.
All right, coming up next for you is Wheel of Questions. You never know what is going to pop up on Wheel of Questions. And after that, Wayne Ellington of the Lakers is going to join us, one of the big shooters that the Lakers have added when they needed shooting the most. That's all coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Ireland's back from his free agency break. And the Lakers' deals are all official at this point. We will hear from Wayne Ellington coming up for you in about 10 minutes or so. And it is time for Wheel of Questions. And, you know, I never know what is going to be on the wheel. I never know what is going to come up. Jorge, are we ready to spin the wheel? All right. Oh, okay. All right. This is actually very interesting. Okay, would you be content with a marriage of the highest quality in all respects except sex? Would you be content with a marriage of the highest quality in all respects except sex?
So this is that question that you have asked is the entire premise of the show Sex Life.
Oh, is it?
On Netflix. Yeah, which is like has a cult following. Basically, the star of it is a really hot young mom. She's married to a great guy who makes a lot of money, got two kids, but her ex-boyfriend she had great sex with, and she can't give him up.
Mm.
So, and she talks about how 90% of her life is perfect, but she can't shake the other 10.
Right.
So, using that as a... To answer your question, one can blow up the other. So in other words, let's say you're married and everything in your marriage is perfect except for the sex.
Yes.
I think eventually you would go in search of the sex, the missing part, and that would ruin the marriage.
The marriage, the real
part. Does that make sense? So I don't I think the answer to your question is no. Lindsay's right. The answer is no. Because one would mess up the other.
Lindsay, what do you think? Now, you're not a marriage person, but let's say in a marriage, everything's great except for the sex part. What do you think?
No. I mean, I'm not trying to sound crude or anything, but wouldn't
most people... You're being honest.
Wouldn't most people, if you had to pick one or the other, wouldn't most people pick the sex and not the marriage? Because I feel like I would.
Well,
like, if you're kind of saying you're going to have to have one without the other, then I would definitely say, in response to what you specifically asked, no, that marriage would not be worth it.
Jorge?
Yeah, with the guys, no. It's got to be the sex, man.
Yeah, if you
anyone who says anything else is lying. Let's be
well, either is Mace, either is lying or has kind of given up. Don't you think?
Has waved the white flag.
Yeah, and I think there are marriages like that.
Oh, sure, there are.
Where
sure
they're like totally in love with their spouse, great spouse, everything about them's great. Yeah, the sex didn't work. That's okay.
You know, yeah, I couldn't. I'm with you guys. I couldn't do it.
Oh, it's depressing. Oh, yeah, the sex didn't work. Everything else is great. Oh, that's so depressing.
You know, in realistic terms, what percentage of a marriage is sex? Like, in terms of importance, what percentage of a marriage is sex?
To me?
Yeah.
50.
50%? Wow. You and Lisa, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it. You got to have it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, needless to say.
What is it for you? For you, I think it's probably higher than 50.
It is. It is higher. It is higher. And as you know, I am a self-declared Bobcat in the Sack.
Thanks for that visual. I got that going all day now.
All right.
You should not marry someone you're not attracted to. It will not end well.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, guy working at McDonald's. This is in Australia.
Okay.
Goes to the drive-thru. He's the guy at the drive-thru window, right? And somebody pulls up and orders 100 drinks, 69 large fries, 39 orders of 20-piece chicken McNuggets.
Now, you're talking about cold, just pulls up to the drive-thru.
Just
no advance notice
pulls up
notice
to the drive-thru, exactly.
Okay.
304 burgers. That's what they order. Now, if you are a McDonald's employee, do you storm off on that? By the way, the bill on that was $3,400. Do you just storm out on that note?
No, here's how I would handle it. I would say, this is an extraordinary large order that we are happy to accommodate, but there are 7 cars behind you in line. So here's what I need you to do. Pull over there, right to that space in our parking lot, and as soon as our order is ready, we will bring it out to you. And we appreciate your business. But no, why would I get mad? That's a huge day in sales.
Give
for my...
us 2 hours to put that together.
Yeah, it's discourteous. I did this one time. I went on a baseball trip with one of my best friends when we were in college. We went to 22 cities in 21 days, went to Major League ballparks. And we had mapped it all out the night before. But we decided that there may be better ways to get from one ballpark to another. Delta had a thing called an air pass.
Okay, where you could go just fly anywhere?
Well, you could go up to 21 cities in 21 days.
Wow.
Although you couldn't go to the same city twice except where you start and end. So it was perfect for going to baseball stadiums. So, but what we didn't think about was we thought, well, there may be quicker ways for us to get. Let's just do this at the airport. So we got to the airport like insanely early, like 3.5 hours early. And you forget that there's a line at every airport. So we get up there to the ticket girl and we say, okay, here's what we want to do. And we want to map this all out. And the people behind us were furious because we were probably there for half an hour.
Right, right.
And that's kind of what this guy in the drive-thru is doing. He's screwing up everybody behind him.
He's screwing up everybody.
So as long as I'm not mad at the guy, but he's going to have to wait. It's going to take me time to cook all that food, right?
It is going to take, I would imagine, a couple hours to actually do it.
No, not at a fast food place.
You don't think?
Yeah, they could put that order you described together in half an hour.
69 large fries, 39 orders of 20-piece chicken nuggets, and 304 burgers.
You know how NBA players like to mess with rookies? Right?
Yeah.
So for years, we'd be going to a road trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have to be there. Like, the media has to be there 45 minutes beforehand. And
yes.
Then, like, let's say it's a 2 o'clock flight.
Yep.
All of the staff and non-players got to be in their seat by 1:15. Every year, they make a rookie go to In-N-Out. There's an In-N-Out right over by the airport.
Right by the airport, yeah.
And they give them an absurd order, you know, like that they could never fill. But the smart rookies call ahead. You know, like they say, okay, let's see, how many people we got on this plane? We got 40 people? Go get 80 burgers, 80 fries, and 80 shakes. And In-N-Out will always tackle it. And the rookie will come back with bags and bags of food. And they're not allowed to complain or do anything. It's just kind of a rite of passage. But the smart rookies call ahead.
Yeah, by the way, if you're a McDonald's employee, what's the largest order? Has anybody ever done something like this to you? Has anybody ever showed up and ordered $3,000 worth of food? Or what's the biggest order? Who's the biggest pain in the ass at the drive-through window? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN.
Hey, so you mentioned Morales. Morales mentioned off the top of the show that you had somewhat of a work dinner last night, right?
It was a work dinner.
Are you allowed to say who was there?
Yeah, it was Morales and Boss Amanda.
And you, three people.
Three people.
Who paid?
Actually, I believe the station paid.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. If they didn't, you should turn it in.
I offered.
Yeah, you should turn it. You should say, this was a business dinner. I want to be reimbursed.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, it was definitely a business dinner. It was it was not the kind of dinner where I was like, oh,
was it like that one time when they
delicious.
Told us they were going to fire Dave Singer and you and I walked out?
It was shy of that,
yeah.
but
not much.
But Morales did look an awful lot like McCluskey by the time I walked out of that restaurant.
Right.
All right, coming up next for you, Wayne Ellington. We talked to him a little while ago. We got that coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN, and joining us now, one of the shooters that the Lakers have added for this upcoming season, Wayne Ellington. Wayne, thanks a lot for coming on, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Wayne, I think that this is a perfect fit for your skill set. Not that you weren't a good fit when you were here before, but that was a different Laker team, a team that I would say – wasn't really a championship contender. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like the timing this time for your second stint with the Lakers is a better fit?
I couldn't agree more with you. You know, obviously the first time around was a little different situation. So now, you know, being able to come back and join the purple and gold under these circumstances, you know, I'm ecstatic, you know, and that's an understatement about how I feel.
So Wayne, describe how this came. I'm always fascinated by how it came about behind the scenes. So I was on the air before this all went down. I'm like, you got to get Wayne Ellington, need a shooter, get Wayne Ellington. So I was like all over that. How did it all come down?
It was pretty easy, honestly. Free agency started. I got a call from Rob. It was a pretty straight to the point conversation. You know, we just talked about how he sees the fit, how he sees me being able to, you know, really complement this team. Obviously, with the likes of LeBron and AD and Russ, and how important and how valued and shooting is going to be for this roster. You know, he just pointed out some really amazing points to me, and I couldn't have agreed with him more. So, you know, like I said, it was a crisp conversation and honest, and you know, it was that made it a easy decision for me.
Wayne, I may have this wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is your second stint with the Lakers, which would make this your 10th team, 9 total, but 2 stints with the Lakers. So you've been all over and you've seen, and it's a testament to you that you've been able to stay in the league with your shooting and your defense. But what works and what doesn't in your mind? Do you know when you walk into a gym for training camp whether or not a team has it or not?
No, I wouldn't say when you walk into a gym for training camp, just because, you know, there's so much time to continue to build. So, you know, it takes some time and, you know, but I, you know, looking at this team from the rip, you see all the potential that's there, and you see the opportunity, and you just get excited. I mean, obviously, on paper, we look amazing, and we're all really excited. I've seen some of the guys around already, and everybody has this energy about them. Everybody has this chip on their shoulder, right? So everybody's coming in with that same goal and that same mindset. And as long as we got that, man, we keep that championship goal at the front of everything else, I think we got a chance to be just fine.
Wayne Ellington of the Los Angeles Lakers is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So we know, because we've seen it and won the championship with LeBron and AD as a two-headed monster. All of a sudden, you add Russell Westbrook. You know, Russ, how does all this fit? How does all this feel to you, and what does it look like adding Westbrook to LeBron and AD?
I mean, just a huge force, another force that – you know, it's going to be a nightmare for defenses, right? I mean, Russ does it all essentially on the court. And, you know, with him at the point guard spot with those two guys, it's going to be a beautiful thing to see. And I can't wait to get out there on the court and be a part of it and see it. You know, I think it's going to be a really fun season.
Wayne, last thing for me, you – last year shot 42% from three, which is tied for your career high in a season. You're a 38% three-point. You're one of the best three-point shooters in the league. But last year you were lights out, as good as you've been in your whole career. What do you attribute that to? Why do you think that you're as good of a shooter now as you've ever been?
I think continue to evolve. My game has evolved. I've continued to grow in different areas and understand the game and understand the art of shooting. So as I've gotten older, I like to think of myself as fine wine, right? I've gotten better with time. So, like you said before, you know, timing is just everything. I think this was a perfect time for me to be a part of this thing. And for me to come in here and be able to do what I do to the best of my ability. And I think, honestly, I'm playing some of the best basketball in my career right now.
Awesome, man. Well, we are excited to see you do it in a Lakers uniform. It won't be long. Congratulations, and welcome to L.A. again, man.
Thank you. Super happy, super excited, and can't wait to see you guys in person.
There you have it. There's Wayne Ellington, who joined us a little bit earlier today, one of the shooters that the Lakers desperately needed after adding Russell Westbrook. They did a good job, I think, of filling in around the big three with guys who can knock down threes, and he's one of those guys.
Right. Well, and you said it. They basically didn't get that three-point shooting a lot last season. Guys like Kuzma, KCP, Caruso, who had hit threes consistently the year before, didn't always. So now they're going to try it with Malik Monk, who shot 40% last year.
Yep.
Wayne Ellington, who shot 42%, and Kendrick Nunn, who shot 39%.
Not to mention Carmelo, who became a catch-and-shoot guy in Portland, shot 40%.
So basically, I think those guys last year all had an opportunity to show that they were the type of guys who could hit open threes, and they didn't really tear it up. So now these guys are going to get a shot at it. You've basically replaced the guys you tried it with last year with four new guys who all had good three-point shooting years. So that particular need has definitely been addressed.
Yeah.
Whether or not these guys come through remains to be seen.
I screwed something up, so go figure.
Shocking.
The Wheel of Questions was presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. That's one of the things that came out of dinner last night with the management types, is that they think I'm not as smart as I used. They think I'm not as sharp as I used to be.
Well, think about it. You've smoked a lot of weed. Every time you do that, doesn't it kill some of your brain cells?
I would argue no. It makes me more creative, more interesting, more
of a
storyteller.
Well, that may all be true. But, you know, even at the end of great careers, guys aren't as sharp as they were at the beginning.
Wait a minute, you're saying I'm not as sharp as I used to be?
Yeah, I mean, well, look at Vin Scully. Look at Doc Emrick. Look at those guys. I mean, Chick Hearn.
What do you mean? Well, I mean, they're play-by-play guys. You've got to be precise. I'm L.A.'s fan. That's my job. My job is to be a fan.
My argument would be that even if you're not as sharp as you used to be, you are more creative, and people would rather hear you than anybody else. So what if you screw up a read? What difference does it make?
Exactly. That's what I say.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
We were having that question about the McDonald's and the gigantic order.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, as I talked about McDonald's, how much I love McDonald's. It is the most delicious fast food. And if you told me you can only have one fast food restaurant for the rest of your life, it would be McDonald's. I love McDonald's.
Really?
What would yours be?
Jack in the Box. I get the tacos.
Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Lindsay, what about you? You only get one fast food restaurant from now on for the rest of your life. Which one do you pick?
I don't know. I don't really eat a whole lot of fast food, so I
Wait,
can't
is,
really.
Is In-N-Out fast food? It is, right?
In-N-Out yeah. is yeah, fast yeah, yeah. food.
All right, I might go there, too.
See, I take McDonald's over In-N-Out. I know that's controversial in a city like Los Angeles, but given a choice between McDonald's and In-N-Out, I'm going McDonald's.
Well, since both Jack in the Box and In-N-Out are Lakers sponsors, it would be a very hard decision for me to pick just one.
Oh, yes. Yes, it would be. It would be. What about you, Jorge? You got one fast food restaurant. Which one do you want?
I'm going In-N-Out, man. In-N-Out's for me.
In-N-Out. Yeah, even... By the way, second place for me is Popeyes. Love that chicken.
If the McRib was available every day, McDonald's.
Oh, ever since I saw that TikTok video about how they make the McRib, I'm like, I don't think I want any part of that. That meat, congealed meat that they put together, I don't think I want that. By the way, if you've got to boil life down to one fast food restaurant, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Also, we'll continue. John is just getting a chance after his free agency
about
break.
About time.
To react to the Lakers roster, and I actually have a question. I've got an interesting question for you about this Lakers team.
Okay.
Interesting question for you about the group that they've put together. That's all coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.